Hare Krishna, everyone. So thank you so much for coming again. And before we begin today, what we will do, okay. We'll just do a quick recap of yesterday. Is that okay? Yes. So we'll just do it, and then you can just shout out the answers as they come to you. There's no question on this one. Background. Yesterday, we talked about the background to how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. What happened between the time that Krishna came to this world and then what happened in the stages that led to Krishna coming again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Kali Yuga began. And as Kali Yuga began, things began declining and there was misuse of the scriptures. So therefore, Krishna came as who? Buddha, isn't it? Then Krishna came as Buddha and then he reinstated moral principles, ahimsa. Ma himsyat sarva bhutanam. Don't commit violence towards other living beings. But that, in order to do that, Buddha rejected the Vedas. So then Krishna sent Lord Shiva to come to the world to reestablish the Vedas. So Shiva, Shankar Bhagavan, came as Shankaracharya. Yes. And Shankaracharya, he denied. He accepted the Vedas, but he denied the difference between the Jiva and the Brahman. Jiva Brahmeva Naaparaha. There's no difference between the Jiva and Brahman, according to Shankaracharya's philosophy. But still, Shankaracharya drove Buddhism out and established the Vedic teachings. But then what happened is, in order to actually extract the real purpose of the Vedas, which is to have a personal relationship with God, one great acharya came in the south of India. And who was that? Ramanuja. And Ramanuja established personalism by teaching the philosophy of Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta Advaita means qualified monism. So yes, Shankaracharya, you're right. There's oneness, but let me qualify it. There's also a relationship. And then in order to further stress personalism, difference between the living entity and God, who came next? Madhvacharya, isn't it? If you ever see a picture of Madhvacharya, he is like this. He's not part of the hippie movement telling everyone peace. Right? He's like this because for Madhvacharya, it's always two. It's always Dvaita. There's always a Bheda, a difference. We are not God. So Madhvacharya, he taught that. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he harmonized everything with his philosophy, which is called in Sanskrit, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. There was once a famous band, you may know, Kulasekhar. You know, it was maybe not Kulasekhar. They were big and they sang a song called Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. And it was big in the UK. Big, big song. Okay, so that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. So just to recap, all of these on this previous slide, all of the different teachings and all of the different religions, they are established by God. We don't have to deny any other religion. We don't have to deny any other sampradaya. No, everyone has their place. Because God comes down in different desha, kala, patra. He teaches differently. One response is exclusivism, pluralism, but what is the response of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to the diversity of religion? Inclusive. We see that there's diversity, but there's unity. And how do you know and if theology is most evolved? Can you say some of the things? On what factors do you know that theology is more evolved than another? Intimacy, beauty, accessibility, comprehensiveness, auspiciousness. Yes, you got all of them basically. Okay, so we talked about that. Sampradaya of Mahaprabhu, we already talked about this. Yeah, This is very easy to remember. Shankaracharya denied, Ramanuja detected, Madhvacharya emphasized, Sri Chaitanya harmonized. We won't go into this now. This is big. We're not just Sanatan Dharmis specifically, we're Vaishnavas. And therefore, we worship Krishna, Krishna Stoop Bhagavan Swayam, which is established by Bhagavatam. More specific than that, we are Gaudiyas. So we follow Sri Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Therefore, it's very important to understand Mahaprabhu. It is at the core of our identity. Okay, so today now we are going on to learn about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Mahaprabhu's life is incredible. How many people in the world do you know had 27 biographies written about them? You know anyone? You all know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 27 biographies written about of his life by different people who knew him in different places. Some of them knew him in Mayapur. Some of them knew him in Jagannath Puri. Some of them knew him in his childhood and some of them in his old age. However, of those 27 biographies, seven are said to be ones that we study now. And of those seven, one of the biographies is said to be the most authoritative biography on Lord Chaitanya's life. It is the final word. And what is that book? Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is an amazing book. Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan Jaha Hoite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan. Brothers, sisters, study Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan every single day. Why? Jaha Hoite Premananda. Just by reading these words, you will feel so much happiness in your heart. Bhakti Tattva Gyan. And at the same time, you will learn all the truths of bhakti. All the fine details of bhakti you will learn. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is amazing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there will come a time in the future when people will learn Bengali just so they can read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can you imagine? You learn a whole language just so you can read this book. If you know Bengali, if you know this book, it's so sweet. Srila Prabhupada said, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the real Bengali sweet. Sandesh is nice. Rasagula is nice. Chaitanya Charitamrita, very sweet. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is very, very amazing. You know, when Srila Prabhupada was coming all alone, Prabhupada was all alone on the Jaladuta, 70 years old, no money, on a cargo ship, didn't know where he was going. 2 months to come from India to America, 2 heart attacks on the ship. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his biography, I'm feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan, my lords Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damodar, my only solace is in reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I am relishing the nectarine pastimes of Gauranga. So when Prabhupada came to America, he was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if there's a flood, imagine tomorrow there's a flood and you have to escape your house, make sure you take Gita, Bhagavatam, CC with you. And if the flood rises and you have to drop one book, then drop the Gita. And if the flood rises even more and you have to drop one book, then drop Bhagavatam. But keep Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita, from that, everything else can be understood. Because it's the most advanced theology. So don't underestimate this book. It's there on the shelf. Don't underestimate it. So Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the life and times of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in this world for 48 years. He was born in 1486. And he lived for 48 years. His life is very easy to remember because it was split directly in half. 24 years of his life, he lived in Navadvip as in household life. He was with his mother and father. And later on, he got married. He got married twice. But then at the age of 24, he decided to take sannyas. For his mother, can you imagine for a mother what that's like? She was crying. And Mahaprabhu said, why are you crying? She said, you are leaving home. You know what Mahaprabhu said to her, Nimai, at that time? He said, isn't it the duty of a son when he grows up that he should leave home, earn wealth, and bring the wealth back to the family? Isn't that the system? She said, yes. He said, therefore I'm leaving home. Golokera prema dhan. Harinam sankirtan. I'm leaving to earn the wealth of prema. Prema dhan. So I'm doing my duty as a son. She didn't accept. I also tried to say the same thing to my mom. He didn't accept. Isn't it? There was one sannyasi in the Gaudiya Math actually. And his mother, she had, you know how many children she had? She had 22 children. And one of them became a sannyasi. And when he became a sannyasi, she cried and cried and cried. You think, my God, you have 22 sons. One son becomes a sannyasi is good, no? Still, mother's heart is like that. So it was so difficult for Sachi Mata. All of you, many of you are mothers, you know. But Mahaprabhu said, I have to give up the small world of family life and embrace the whole world as my family. So that was Mahaprabhu. So therefore, he took sannyas at 24. And then at the age of 24, for his first six years, he was traveling here, there, and everywhere. Patra, patra, vichar, nahi, nahi, sthanas. Here, there, and everywhere he was going, teaching and preaching about Krishna consciousness. And then for his final 18 years, he stayed in Puri, Jagannath Puri. You've been Puri, some of you? Puri is a very special place. Every holy place is having a specific quality. Vrindavan is known as Madhurya Dham. Very sweet, sweet, sweet place. Mayapur is known as Audarya Dham, a place of great magnanimity. Great. Mahaprabhu is so kind. He said in Mayapur, even you go to sleep, it's as though you're paying obeisances. So you get spiritual credit in Mayapur even if you sleep all day. Don't do it, but you just sleep. Gauranga is so kind. Audarya Dham. And Jagannath Puri is Viraha. Viraha means separation. The word Viraha means separation, but actually it has special meaning. Viraha, Vishesha, Rahasya, Unmilam. Viraha means separation. But the word, what it actually means, Vishesha means special. And Raha means Rahasya Unmilam. Rahasya means confidential. Unmilam means meeting. So Viraha means separation, but the actual meaning is a special type of confidential meeting. In spiritual life, when you are separated from someone, if there's pure love, then actually you're meeting them in a very special way. Therefore, Vipralamba Bhav or Viraha Bhav, love in separation, is said to be the most intense type. So Jagannath Puri is this place. And for these final 18 years, for 6 years, Mahaprabhu was with the devotees, discussing, guiding, correcting. And for the final 12 years, he went into one small room. Have any of you been? Gambhira. Gambhira means a very secluded place. Gambhir. And so you can go and you can see that place. In that small room, Mahaprabhu was locked up with just a few associates. And he was going into transcendental madness. So, how can I, in the short time we have already at 7:55, how I will show you everything that Mahaprabhu did in his life? I won't be able to, but today I will show you, I will try to, by Krishna's mercy, share with you how Mahaprabhu's life and the way his life goes has a very deep teaching, a very deep teaching. In the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said, "Ei mata bhakta bhav kori angikar, apani achari bhakti korila prachar." Ei mata bhakta bhav kori angikar. Mahaprabhu is saying, I will come to this world in the bhakta bhav, in the mood of a devotee. Apani achari, by my own activities, by my own example, korila prachar, I will preach to the whole world. In other words, I will show the world how to be a devotee by practicing being a devotee myself. So if you look at Mahaprabhu's life closely, it has the secret of how to become a perfect devotee in your life, the life cycle. I'll show you. If we want to split up Mahaprabhu's life in another way, we can say his life goes in three phases. The first phase is that Mahaprabhu finds spiritual life. Mahaprabhu finds spiritual life. He's God. He's Krishna. Why he has to find? But remember, Ei Mata Bhakta Bhav. He's not coming as God. He's coming as a devotee. And he's showing that when someone comes to this world, the first thing they have to do is find their spiritual path. But once he finds his spiritual path, the next thing he does is he practices his spiritual path. And once he does that, he relishes his spiritual path, his spiritual life. So this is basically the life cycle that we go through in our life. Hopefully we will go through. And so today I'm just going to share with you these three stages of Mahaprabhu's life, because ultimately we all want to come to the point where we are relishing Krishna consciousness, where we're feeling Krishna, where we experience the love of Krishna. So the first thing that happens is Mahaprabhu has to find his spiritual life. This is, you can see here, this is his mother and father, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. You know, Sachi Mata, 8 daughters she had. And all of those 8 daughters, they died. Can you imagine how much pain for a mother? She had 8 daughters and they all died. But then what happened is she had a son, beautiful son, a charming son, a son that stole away everyone's heart. And that son was Vishwarup. But Vishwarup, one day he was at home and he overheard Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata speaking. And they were planning, they were plotting, they were arranging that in the future he should get married to such and such. And when he heard that, he said, "No, this is not for me." So he left, took sannyas. I can't remember what age, 12, something, 12. Age 12, can understand. So can you imagine 8 of her daughters pass away and then she has a charming son and he takes sannyas. So then Mahaprabhu was born. And Mahaprabhu sometimes, at this time he was known as Nimai, sometimes he was getting dreams. Can you see here? Vishwarup was coming in his dream and Vishwarup was telling him, "I've taken sannyas, why don't you also come? Come, we'll go together, we'll travel." And he was thinking, how can I take sannyas? I will break the heart of my mother and father if I take sannyas. So he didn't. He stayed. He got married. And his childhood pastimes here are described. And the interesting thing is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was Nimai, in the beginning of his life, he did not manifest the signs of a devotee. He was Nimai Pandit. He was a scholar. He was a philosopher. He was an academic. He was one who studied many, many books. But he was not chanting and spreading the holy name in that way. He was playing the part of just being a dry scholar. But then at one point, what happened is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya. And there in Gaya, he underwent a transformation. He met his spiritual master. His spiritual master was Ishwarapuri. And his spiritual master looked at him and said, Murkha tumi tomar nahik vedanta adhikar Krishna mantra Krishna japa ei mantra sar Krishna mantra hoite pabe samsara mochan Krishna mantra hoite pabe Krishna racharan. Said, Murkha, you're a fool. Why are you trying to study so many things? You will not be able to understand God just by your intellect. Krishna mantra japa sada aim mantra sar. Just take Krishna's name and just chant it again and again. So his spiritual master chastised him. He took the mantra. He started chanting the mantra. Nimai, who was a scholar, he started chanting the mantra. Then what happened? He came back to his spiritual master. Kiba mantra, kiba gosai, kiba tarabal. Japite, japite mantra, kurite. Pagal, kiba mantra dila gosai. What kind of mantra you have given me? Kiba tarabal. How powerful this mantra is. Japite japite mantra. I'm chanting it again and again. Korite pagal. And I'm going completely mad. So his spiritual master said, very good. Very good. When you chant this mantra, you go mad. So somehow you have to. Well, there was one sannyasi in our movement. And before he became a devotee, he was staying with one lady. And the lady had a dog. And you know what the dog's name was? Krishna. He was staying with this lady. And the lady had a dog. And the dog's name was Krishna. And you know what happened? The dog, every night, it used to run away into the town, Amsterdam. So then his girlfriend would tell him, go and find the dog. So he did not. So he was running out in the streets of Amsterdam. Krishna! Krishna, where are you? Krishna! Can you imagine? And then a few years later, he met the devotees and Krishna came into his life. He was calling Krishna. If you call Krishna, Krishna will come into your life. All of us have our stories, isn't it, of how we came to spiritual life. How we found the devotees. How we came in contact with chanting Hare Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, he also goes through that pastime. He finds spiritual life, meets Ishwarapuri. Brahmande bhramite kona bhagyavan jeev Guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata beach. It's not ordinary. We should never take for granted that you met devotees. Should never take for granted that you came in contact with Srila Prabhupada and the teachings of Krishna consciousness. Never think is just, okay, something is the greatest fortune. Because for lifetimes, we don't know how many places we were wandering in before we contacted. I'll tell you an amazing story. Srila Prabhupada came off the Jaladuta. And you know, when a ship or a plane comes to a port, then they clean it up and after a few days later, it goes back. Prabhupada arrived on the Jaladuta. 3 days later, Jaladutta turned around to go back to India. And you know who stepped onto that boat? Two boys. Their names were Keith and Howard. They stepped onto the same ship that Srila Prabhupada stepped off to preach Krishna consciousness in the US. They stepped onto the same ship because they wanted to go to India. And you know why? Because they wanted to find a guru. Can you imagine? Prabhupada comes off the ship. And then 3 days later, they get onto the same ship to go all the way to India to find a guru, when the Jagat Guru has just come. So then they went India. They traveled for 1 year. They said, we met many sadhus, nice people, but we never met anyone who touched our heart. So they came back to New York 1 year later. They were walking down New York Street. And then they saw, my God, there's some saffron monk here. We're not on LSD. We take LSD, but we're not at the moment. Are we seeing things? So they walked up to Srila Prabhupada. They looked at him and they said, are you from India? Prabhupada said, yes. He said, are you from India? They said, no. But we just came back from India. We're looking for a guru. He said, are you looking for a guru? He said, okay, come tonight to 26 Second Avenue. Hear Bhagavad Gita. And then Keith and Howard became Kirtanananda and Hayagriva. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan. You can wander here, there, and everywhere. You will not find by your own power. Only when the mercy comes, only when good fortune arises, one finds Guru. So the first teaching of Mahaprabhu's life is that finding spiritual life is very, very special. And so in the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find out all about how Mahaprabhu became a devotee. And then later on, at the age of 24, he took sannyas, as I was explaining before. However, finding spiritual life is not enough. Srila Prabhupada said, if someone comes to Krishna consciousness, they're very fortunate. If someone doesn't come to Krishna consciousness, they're unfortunate. But if someone comes to Krishna consciousness and doesn't take full advantage, they are the most unfortunate. We should think deeply about this. Srila Prabhupada is saying even more unfortunate than not coming to Krishna consciousness is if you come, but then you waste the opportunity. Because we're lazy, because we're preoccupied in other things, because we take it for granted. So it's not just about finding spiritual life, but it's about practicing spiritual life. And what I'm going to share with you is that Mahaprabhu in his life does three very, very important things. He spends a lot of time doing three specific things, which give you three secrets as to what we need to do in order to perfect our spiritual life. The first thing that Mahaprabhu does is he spends a lot of time discussing philosophy with different individuals, isn't it? If you read the stories of Mahaprabhu, who is this? Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was a great scholar. But he was an impersonalist in Jagannath Puri. And when he saw Mahaprabhu, he said, this boy, 24 years old, so young, so beautiful, so qualified, so attractive. How will he be able to maintain his sannyas? He's so young. So he said, I better teach him some philosophy. But he respected that Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. So he said, you sit on the seat. I'll sit down, but I'll teach you. So for 7 days he taught, all impersonal philosophy. And then finally Mahaprabhu told him that everything you're telling me, actually I want to tell you there's something beyond impersonalism. So through the conversations with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Mahaprabhu establishes the complete defeat of Mayavadi philosophy, impersonalism. Later on, Mahaprabhu has a conversation with Ramananda Rai, isn't it? If you travel in South India today, you come to a place, Godavari. So here, Mahaprabhu had a conversation. This is an incredible conversation because Mahaprabhu is not giving the answers. Mahaprabhu is hearing the answers. And what does Mahaprabhu say to Ramananda Rai? Ami eka batul tumi dvitiya batul ata eva amai tomai hoya samatul. Mahaprabhu looks at Ramananda Rai and he says, Ami eka batul, I am one madman. Tumi dvitiya batul, and you are one second madman. Ata eva amai tomai hoya samatul. There's no difference between me and you. I am madly in love with Krishna. You are madly in love with Krishna. And when two mad people come together, then mad things happen. So for many nights, they were discussing today together. And Ramananda Rai, in this conversation, he established the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the glory of the love of the gopis. The love of the gopis is the highest love. Because even Krishna, what did he say to the love of the gopis? Napadayeham niravadyasam yujam svasadu krityam vibhuta yusha piva. He looked at the gopis and he said, I can never repay you. I can never repay you because you have given up everything to serve me. Krishna doesn't just look at what you give. Krishna, here is 100,000 shillings. That's nice. What's behind your back? What are you holding back? I want to see what you're holding. No, Krishna, so much for you. Here, this all for you. But what are you holding back? Gopis never held anything back. So therefore, Ramananda Rai establishes the love of the gopis. Mahaprabhu has a conversation with Rupa Goswami, isn't it? In Allahabad, Prayag. You can go to that place today. That's the place where Kumbh Mela takes place. If some of you have been to Kumbh Mela, then you can go to Allahabad, Dashashvamedha Ghat. And here Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami all of the secrets of rasa. Everyone in this world is looking for rasa, taste. But the place they're looking for rasa, taste, is in the wrong place. Chapala Sukh. Where you will find rasa in this material world, in money, in mundane relationships, it will let you down. So he explained to Rupa Goswami, where is the real rasa? And then Mahaprabhu had conversations with Sanatan Goswami, isn't it? And to Sanatan Goswami, he taught the process of how one should advance their spiritual life. And then Mahaprabhu had a conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati. And in this conversation, he established the glory of Bhagavatam. So you see, I can't go through everything because we don't have time. But what you'll see is that Mahaprabhu spent a lot of time discussing wisdom, discussing philosophy. Small minds discuss people. Average minds discuss events. But great minds discuss philosophy and wisdom. What do we spend our whole life talking about? People? We discuss our whole life talking about events that we have no power over. And this is happening in the world. 1 hour conversation about the news. Okay, we know it hurts us. We have to get on and do something practical. So don't just discuss people and events. Discuss philosophy. Discuss wisdom. Discuss Krishna's pastimes. Because if you discuss that, your heart will change. And when your heart changes, you will be able to improve people and you will be able to improve the world. So great minds discuss philosophy. So the first thing Mahaprabhu does is he spends a lot of time discussing Shastra. But the second thing that Mahaprabhu does in his life, he spends a lot of time doing Sankirtan, isn't it? Here, anyone know who this is Mahaprabhu speaking to? This is Chand Kazi. Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip. Navadvip was a Muslim occupational government at that time. So when the devotees became inspired to start chanting in Sri Vasanga, and then everyone began complaining, this is noisy, this is disturbing, this is not real Hindu culture. So then the Qazi and his soldiers came and broke the mridangas, and then Mahaprabhu took a big procession out, Harinam Sankirtan. The first time the chanting of the holy name went out onto the street. So Mahaprabhu, in this way, he began taking the holy name out on the streets of Navadvip. And then later on, what Mahaprabhu did is he went on Sankirtan and he did a whole trip all across South India. So here you see Mayapur. This is where Mahaprabhu was born. And then Mahaprabhu went like this, right down here, right down the coast here. This is Tirupati, right down here, Sri Rangam. He went right here to Kanyakumari, the very tip of India. Then he came up, Udupi is the place of Madhvacharya, he came there. Then he went through Maharashtra. Here he also in Maharashtra met Tukaram, if you know Tukaram. And then he went all across back here. Does anyone know how many miles this is? This whole journey to Mayapur like this? You know how many miles that is? Is it miles here or kilometers? Kilometers. Okay, do you know how many kilometers it is? 1,000? 4,000? Yeah, 4,000 miles. I don't know what that is in kilometers. 7,000? Something like that. He walked 4,000 miles by foot in 2 years. And he wasn't walking, he was singing and walking. You know what it was like? They would go village to village. Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, they were in a kirtan. Okay? Just imagine this. They were walking. The kirtan was like a whirlwind. Do you get whirlwinds here in Nairobi? It's like a whirlwind. You're not seeing, huh? Like a whirlwind. So the kirtan was so intense. It was like a whirlwind. And then it would go past the village, the kirtan. And then when the kirtan went past the village, all the village people would get sucked into the kirtan. And you know, it said that the kirtan would go past the village, people would get sucked into the kirtan, and you'd never see them again. Can you imagine? Just imagine a kirtan going by and you just get sucked into the kirtan and then you never emerge again. It was such an ecstasy. They were just chanting, and this was not ordinary kirtan. You see, the devotees came into Jagannath Puri, and Prataparudra, he had seen many kirtan parties before. But when he saw the devotees chanting, he said, this is something different. He looked at Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He said, who are these people singing? I never seen anything like this. And then what did Sarvabhauma say? Bhattacharya kohe e madhura vachan, chaitanya srishti e prem sankirtan. Bhattacharya kohe, but the Bhattacharya looked at him. E madhura vachan, this sweet sound, chaitanya srishti, this is a special creation. E prem sankirtan, this is not just sankirtan, this is prem sankirtan. Chanting of Krishna's names in love. So like this, Mahaprabhu did Sankirtan all across South India, and then he came back to Jagannath Puri. You know, Kumbh Mela is the biggest gathering of human beings on earth. You know how many people come there, right? Tens of millions of people. in 1 month they come to Kumbh Mela. And you know the biggest festival in the world, the biggest one-off festival in the world is Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra. Over 1 million people come there for Puri Rath Yatra. So Mahaprabhu, he was also at Puri Rath Yatra. So there he did Sankirtan and he was dancing in front of Jagannath. And not just that, Mahaprabhu at one point he went to Vrindavan and then he was doing Sankirtan through the forest, through the Jarikanda forest. And when he was chanting through the forest, all the animals were coming together. And then the lions and the deers and the monkeys and the snakes and everyone who were normally very inimical towards each other, they were best of friends. In a community, there cannot be conflict if everyone is absorbed in the Sankirtan rasa. But when we are not absorbed in the Sankirtan rasa, then we will have many difficulties living together. Therefore, Mahaprabhu showed that even in a jungle, I can bring everyone together. Even in a jungle, I can bring everyone together. If there's absorption in Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, the moment the absorption goes, the arguments begin. The moment the absorption goes, Goloka disappears, Kurukshetra begins. And the third thing that Mahaprabhu did in his life, very powerful, is he taught Sadachar. When Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he taught his devotees, it's not just about what you know, philosophy. It's not just about the chanting that you do, the sadhana, but it's about who you are as a person. What is your character? You see, this is very important. Through Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu taught, unless you are tolerant, you will not be able to perfect spiritual life. Haridas Thakur had the biggest provocations. He had provocations of lust. Two prostitutes were sent to him. He had the obstacle of the greatest suffering. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. And he had the obstacle of disease and illness of the body. But when Mahaprabhu came to him and he was ill, Mahaprabhu said, reduce your rounds. He said, my real illness is I can't chant my rounds. But he tolerated all of those things and just kept chanting, just kept going. Haridas Thakur teaches us the quality of tolerance. Raghunath Das Goswami teaches us simplicity. Raghunath Das Goswami was from a family of millionaires, multi-millionaires. He ran away from everything and he took residence in Jagannath Puri. And what was he eating? Some rice that was even rejected by the cows. And when he was eating that rice, one day Mahaprabhu came to him. Here you can see, he said, oh Raghunath, oh Goswami, I heard you're having a big feast every day. I heard you're having an opulent feast. Now you let me tell you. No, Mahaprabhu, you cannot eat this. No, I know you're feasting. Then Mahaprabhu grabbed that rejected rice from him. He was living so simple. Mahaprabhur bhakta ganer vairagya pradhan. When Mahaprabhu sees that his devotees are very, very simple, they're ready to give up all material opulence, then becomes very, very happy. Mahaprabhu also taught us culture by teaching us what not to do. Ramachandra Puri was a fault finder, critical. In India, you'll find ants everywhere. But when he saw ants on the floor of Mahaprabhu's dwelling place, he said, oh, see, sannyasi, but you're eating so many sweets. he would induce someone to eat many sweets. And then once they ate, he would criticize, "Oh, just see how much you ate." And then if the person stopped eating it, then he would say, "Oh, just see, you are artificially renounced, dry renunciation." He was fault finder. We have to avoid the propensity to criticize others and find faults in others. Because Krishna's devotees are very, very rare. Have you noticed sometimes within our movement, we criticize each other more than outside people criticize us? Isn't it? So much we look at every devotee, they're not doing this, they're like this, they should have done like this. So we have to be careful to avoid judging others and being critical. Mahaprabhu taught other principles. He taught the principle of service attitude. You remember this story, isn't it? Govinda, he would massage Mahaprabhu every single day after Mahaprabhu had done kirtan. So one day Mahaprabhu finished the kirtan and he was lying down tired. So Govinda said, "Mahaprabhu, you just move to one side so I can step in. I don't want to step over you. Just move to one side so I can come in the room. Then I can massage you and do my service." Mahaprabhu said, "I can't move. I'm too tired." He said, no, but Mahaprabhu, if you cannot move, then I can't walk over you. I need to come into the room to do my service." Mahaprabhu said, "You do what you want to do. I can't move." So Govinda, he got his chadar, you see, he put it over Mahaprabhu's body and he stepped over. "Oh my God, how can you step over Mahaprabhu's body? That's a great offense." He did it. Then he started massaging. Hours he was massaging. Mahaprabhu woke up. He said, "Hey, how did you get in the room? And why are you still here? Why haven't you taken prasadam?" He said, "I couldn't take prasadam because you're blocking the door." He said, "But how did you get in?" He said, "I walked over you. So then why didn't you walk over me to take your prasadam?" "For service, I'm willing to do any offense that will cause me to go to hell. But for my own gratification, I cannot." That is service attitude. This is the culture. A Vaishnava should always be ready to see, how can I serve? So you see the three things Mahaprabhu was doing: Shastra, Sankirtan, Sadachar. Okay? And when you do these three things, then finally, what does Mahaprabhu do in the final years of his life? Then he goes to the Gambira. And then in that Gambira, he goes into transcendental madness. He goes into an ecstatic, emotional overflow where he's experiencing the emotions of Srimati Radharani. And he's experiencing Vipralamba Bhav. And then in the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu only speaks it. And Kaviraj Goswami and Rupa Goswami later on write it down, the Shikshashtakam, which are the verses which explain from the beginning to the end the journey of prema and how to achieve the highest prema. So today what I tried to do is show you the journey of Mahaprabhu's life. He came as a devotee. He found spiritual life, just like we find spiritual life. Then he was practicing spiritual life, just like we're practicing spiritual life. And then he was relishing. And we also desire to relish. But if we want to relish, then it really all depends. How well are we practicing spiritual life? And it will largely depend on what is your absorption and dedication to Shastra? What is your dedication to Sankirtan? And Sankirtan means not just chanting the holy name. Not just chanting the holy name, but giving the holy name to others. not just being happy that I'm practicing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, but feeling the responsibility that we must try and share this with everyone and anyone. And sadachar, good culture. If any one of these things are missing, then we will not experience. You can do sankirtan and have good character, but if you don't have good knowledge, then you won't have the right conception which will help you to do your sankirtan in a deep way. If you have knowledge and you have good character, but you don't chant Krishna's names, the practice of chanting Krishna's names and sharing that name and bringing others is what really attracts Krishna's attention. And if you're a good devotee, you read the books and you chant Hare Krishna, but if our character is substandard, if the way in which we interact with other devotees is substandard, if we fall prey to things like envy, fault finding, anger, greediness, all these kind of things, then we will also miss out. So Mahaprabhu, through his life, teaches us what is the journey of spiritual life and what we need to do in order to perfect spiritual life. So, it's 8:30. So shall we have 10 minutes? So we have maybe 10 minutes if anyone has any questions you would like to ask or any reflection based on some of these points. Okay, so here.
How do you know the difference between when somebody is finding faults in you or giving you constructive criticism? Because chastisement can also be like mercy and mercy negatively. So how do you know they're finding faults in you?
For us, when someone's giving us feedback, whether we may think it's fault finding or whether we think it's constructive criticism, we should still try and learn from it. Ramachandra Puri was a criticizer through and through. But still, what did Mahaprabhu do? When he said, "You're eating too many sweets," Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, well, maybe he's right. Maybe I should reduce." Even if someone is criticizing you, there's still some truth to what they're saying. If there's no truth to what they're saying, maybe what they're telling me is something I should avoid doing in the future. So let me make sure I don't do this in the future. Or you could think, maybe this criticism is meant to make me humble opportunity to exercise tolerance. We'll try to use criticism or feedback. We'll try to use it for spiritual advancement. He's a pharmacist, isn't it? So one day OBL Kapoor came to him. OBL Kapoor said, "Abhay Babu, you're a pharmacist. I want to know the medicine you're taking." He said, "Me? I am not taking any medicine." He said, "No, I want to know the medicine that you're taking that makes you such an advanced Prabhupada said, that medicine, the one I take, know the formula, but I was not able to manufacture it yet. He said, oh, that formula, the formula, one day I will preach. Questions, he must have answers.
You find the names of all those devotees, Prakashan and Sashadhyana. They all became devotees. What about Prakashan and Sashadhyana? Did he become a Vaishnava?
Yeah, it said that Prakashananda Saraswati and all of his, I think he had 80,000 or 60,000 sannyasi disciples. He said that all of them became Vaishnavas. They became, the Varanasi became like, Varanasi usually is the Mayavadi headquarters, isn't it? So he said that the whole of Varanasi became Vaishnava. Some people then asked the question that if Mahaprabhu traveled in South India and converted so many people to Vaishnavism, why don't we see Vaishnavism there anymore? If someone like Prakashananda Saraswati became a Vaishnav, such a prominent leader, why don't we see Vaishnavism there today? But the commentators, what they say is that all of these personalities became Vaishnavas, but the reason you don't see Gaudiya Vaishnavism so prominent in South India is because Mahaprabhu never started a structured movement there. The place he started a structured movement was in Vrindavan with the Goswamis. And therefore, you see, from Vrindavan, the movement went on. But in South India, although there was so much influence because there was no movement, therefore you don't see the effect of it. Now, of course, the effect is there. But therefore, when they asked Prabhupada, isn't it, how will the movement go on? And he said, organization, and intelligence. So, yeah. But yes, Prakashananda Saraswati did. All of his disciples became Vaishnavas. He said Mahaprabhu conquered him with three things. You know, Mahaprabhu conquered Prakashananda Saraswati with three things. Philosophy was one of them, but the other thing was humility, and the other thing was beauty. If you want to conquer someone, it depends on the words that have and the purity in your heart. Because the inner purity was there, because the humility was there, and because the words were Krishna's words, you will definitely impact someone's heart. So he did. He converted Prakashananda Saraswati. Yes. Okay. Shall we finish? Is there any last question? Okay, no problem. So I think we can finish there because we're over time. Yeah. So we'll continue tomorrow. Yesterday we described Mahaprabhu's background. Today we described Mahaprabhu's life. Tomorrow we'll describe Mahaprabhu's love. What is that love? Mahaprabhu is Prema Purushottam. What is that love? And then final day we'll discuss what is Mahaprabhu's legacy and what is my ongoing involvement with Mahaprabhu in my life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna.